Now, Fat Cat's trouser bumper payoffs, calculated snub, sparked, as in so-and-so sparked this or that, not to mention our reporter made his excuses and left, yes, right, are all examples of the language of this trade, otherwise known as journalese. Robert Hutton was a Mirror sub-editor, and via the Financial Times, yes, they use journalese too, is now a political correspondent for Bloomberg. He's written a book, Romps, Tots and Boffins, The Strange Language of News, all about it. I started by asking him what he'd found when he started looking.
There are words that people use because they're very effective. I'm in Glasgow at the moment covering the Liberal Democrats, and we have rows. And what happens to rows? They erupt. They can be bitter, they can be explosive, they can be furious, stand up, knock down, drag out. They escalate, deepen or simmer.
But that's true, isn't it? They do.
They do, yes. But there is a thing, certainly with political journalism, because there is a desire to write row stories the whole time, that everything gets interpreted through the lens of, is this a row? And, you know, who is going to slap who down? There's always a slap down in a row. Generally, a slap down is when a minister that the paper likes has told off the minister that the paper doesn't like. So there is a sort of familiar pattern to these things.
I mean, I suppose the other thing is, I mean, is it lazy or kind of slack? Or is it just kind of quite sharp?
I'm not very po-faced about it, but some of it is a laziness, and tragic tot is my absolute hatred, because that's a sort of lazy default way of talking about something really appalling that's happened to somebody. And I think the danger is, if you think like that, you stop seeing people as people, and you just start seeing them as a story that you've got to churn 500 words out of and get the next one moving.
I mean, isn't that a bit like doctors, though? Don't journalists have to do the same thing? There has to be a degree of separation, doesn't there?
Absolutely, but if you do it too much, you miss stories. And if you think in journalese the whole time, you do miss stuff. And actually,
do you think that's what people do? They think in journalese?
No.
Is that what happens? After a while in the newsroom, you become so immersed in it that that's actually the way you think.
I think I have seen this happen. This book is absolutely not an attack on journalists. I am a working journalist, and I have a lot of respect and affection for the people I work with.
Is that a coded attack?
Or
it's the clearest signal yet.
Yes, it's the clearest.
I suppose the other thing I noticed reading some of it is that, you know, some of what you've done is identify words which are, if you like, shorthand for what's meant, like row or trouser or whatever we've discussed. And other things you're doing here, you're kind of decoding where phrases are used which don't actually mean what they appear to. So one is the clearest signal yet. You say, he said the same thing last week.
Yes.
You know, a coded attack. Frankly, this one would have defeated Bletchley Park. Here's what they should have said, or try thinly veiled. So some of it's about kind of decoding words which don't mean what they appear to, have other meanings, and some of it's really about saying, well, this is just a lazy or sharp or particularly pointed way of saying something that does mean what it appears to.
Yes, to flesh out a policy is to say exactly the same thing, but with one new detail. Keynote speech. I said to someone in Downing Street, why are all speeches keynote? And he said, because you don't come if we don't call them that.
You've worked at the Daily Mirror, you now work at Bloomberg, and you worked, I think, was it the FT in between?
FT, yes. Yeah.
What's your own personal favourite? Which one do you use most often?
Well, I use an awful phrase that you don't see in British papers, which is lawmakers. Because I write for a global audience and I write about politics, the phrase that we have settled on as an organisation that is the best way to describe the people who sit in Parliament is lawmakers. And I use it constantly, but I would never use it in conversation, and I am mocked roundly for it by other Westminster correspondents.
So you're not a booze-fueled rampage, crunch talks, troubled stars, sex beasts, caged
No,
man.
I do have clashes, though. I do have probes. Probe is a great... Well, why do we use probe? Because it's much shorter than investigation. And if you're trying to fit something into a headline, probe is fantastic.
Now, lastly, you also put in the back some journalistic slang.
Mm.
There's the death knock, which I think probably explains that ghastly moment that all journalists have at some point in their career where they have to go and knock on the door of the bereaved, as it were. But here's plunder, pillage, poison the well. What's that?
This is the correct technique for a death knock. Plunder, pillage and poison the well are the three stages of a death knock. Plunder is you take your time doing it. They will offer you tea. You accept tea and you drink it very slowly because no British person will ever throw anyone out of the house with a half-drunk cup of tea. Pillage is get every photograph of the deceased person in the house because you can't run a story without a photograph, and neither can anyone else. So you leave with the album and everything from the mantelpiece, And then the final moment is poison the well. As you're leaving, you turn to the relatives of the bereaved and you say to them, thank you for doing this, and you really shouldn't have to do this again. So if any other journalists come, just give them my card and they can call me and I'll fill them in.
And just one more while we're at it. Stick a kilt on it.
There is this thing, and it's got worse since devolution, that Scottish papers don't want stories that aren't about Scotland, which is sort of fair enough. And indeed, in reverse, English papers have no interest in stories about Scotland. So stick a kilt on it is to take a good English story and make it Scottish by calling a local pressure group or whatever. An expression I genuinely heard the other day was, can we take the kilt off this? Which is the reverse, where there's a Scottish story that the English news desk want, but they don't want the Scottish bits of it.
Robert Hutton, whose book Romps, Tots and Boffins is out now. Now, it started in